Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. The World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm 3-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO. And, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall. And welcome again, wrestling fans. It's the World Wrestling Resource Podcast, episode 61. I am your host, Jason Bryan. As I am coming off a plane, the jet lag is finally gone as I return from the Commonwealth Games in Gold Coast 2018 with an interesting story that we're going to tell you today. Now, to set this up, I have to explain the scenario. So I introduce the wrestlers on the mat. I'm doing the PA for this event, and I call a wrestler from Jamaica. His name is Kevin Wallen. I call his opponent, Rashi Mackey from the Bahamas. They're wrestling at 86 kilos and not typical wrestling countries, so there's not a whole lot of bio information. So as the PA announcer, I don't have a whole lot of bio information, so what do? I go with what I have, and I have an age. So I look down, I see Mr. Mackey from the Bahamas is 32. I'm like, okay, you know, Bahamas, 32. And then I look down, and I see Mr. Wallen's age says 48. And I'm like, wait a minute, that cannot be right. So I go and look at the registration system, the commenter information system, and sure enough, our guest today, the president of the Jamaican Wrestling Federation, 48-year-old Kevin Wallen, competing at the Commonwealth Games, not only competing, but also picked up a victory in that match, 11-10. First of all, Mr. Wallen, welcome to the program. I'm looking forward to talking with you.
Wow, that sounds awesome. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to talking to you, too.
So let's just start right away from some of the research I've dug up is you really started wrestling kind of at a later age. You're from Jamaica. You spent time in Canada. Just explain how you got into the sport of wrestling.
Well, I grew up here in Jamaica, and it was really rough when I got through it because my mom left when I was 3 months old to live in Canada. And my dad, I never met him until I was 35 years old. So pretty much what ended up happening is that I had all aunties that I grew up with in Jamaica. There was never really any money around, so I had to take to the streets to figure out how to survive. So I spent a lot of time on the streets. From age 11 to age 15, I didn't go to school. I was just on the road, just hustling, trying to figure out, you know, how you're going to eat kind of thing, you know? And then when I was 16 years old, my mom sent for us. She had gotten married to someone in Canada, and she sent for us. And so we went up to live with her. And when I got there, because I was in school for 11 to 15, I just could not cope. You know what I mean? And so I was in class, and I was struggling to read stuff. And other kids would kind of laugh because I couldn't read. And when they asked me to help out with, you know, do a math problem or whatever, I was so far behind, and because of the shame, and I didn't want to feel that way, I just became a so-called bad kid. And I started to give a lot of problems. And I remember I got into a lot of fights with teachers just so that they could just not like me, kick me out of their class, so that I wouldn't have to go through the whole idea of the shame that went along with learning to read and write and, you know, do certain things at that late stage. And so I remember getting into a fight, you know, with a teacher from my school. And I snuck out of one class to go watch a volleyball game. And the team that came to play us, they were really, really bad. And so I started to figure out, the other team was terrible. So I started to make a lot of noise, started to point at them, started to say things and laugh out loud. And so a teacher from my school came and he told me to go back to my class. And I gave him a hard time, but eventually I did. But then he came in and then he called my teacher and then they decided to give me some detention. And pretty much what it led to was me getting suspended from school because I waited for this teacher after school and I was face to face with him, shouting at him, yelling all kind of crazy things to him. I don't know how come it didn't get physical, you know. And so I got suspended from school. And when I went home, my mom was so angry at me because she remembered, you know, just the stories that we would tell her about how we grew up in Jamaica and how it was tough. And it was so difficult on her because she's been trying to get us up for a very long time. But, you know, now that she has and, you know, the sacrifice that it took, and she looked me in the eye and she goes, that's how you're going to use this opportunity by being a so-called bad kid. And then she goes, I have no room in my life for losers. And that was kind of the turnaround point because now I had to go back to school and I couldn't be the same kid that got suspended because I knew the sacrifices that my mom went through, and I was the sadness on her face, the disappointment on her face. I just didn't want to ever see it again. So when I went back to school, I tried every sport and I got cut from every sport. And the only sport that I didn't get cut from was wrestling, you know, and I was terrible at first, but I got enough time, you know, to warm up to the sport, to love the sport, to love being on a team, you know, to love thriving for something, to know that a tournament's coming up, and I got to, there's just all of these things that I really loved about it. And because of my love for wrestling, I started to pay attention to my academics because if I didn't have good grades, my coach wouldn't let me wrestle. And so my academics came up. And then not only did my academics came up, but the way that I treated other people changed. And so the way that people treated me changed as well.
So How does your high school career go in terms of academics? I mean, you're behind. Canada goes they have a grade 13, I think, is how it works, right? Like they go, yes. They have grade 12, they have grade 13.
Right.
So how old were you when you graduated high school if you were out of school for so long?
Well, by the time we got to Canada, they put us in what's called basic level grade 9. So I wasn't that far back in terms of my age. And they had a class. It was ESL, English as a Second Language. And so the teacher in that class was very good with us. And so we got caught up pretty fast.
So, you know, what was your, so if ESL, you know, it's a, you know, we have that in the United States here as well. But were you predominantly speaking another language in Jamaica, or was it just, you know, the dialect of English is a little different than they speak in North America.
In Jamaica, we speak what we call Patois, but at the same time, it's really just broken English. If you really listen to it, you'll be able to pick up the stuff.
I've picked up on a little bit over the years, and of course,
I understand. Yes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, many Americans, we are, our limits of knowledge of Jamaica involve a bobsled team and Usain Bolt, and maybe the movie Cocktail. So before we get back into your wrestling in Canada, what was it like growing up in Jamaica in terms of, you said you'd taken to the streets, but how hard is it in that growing up without, you know, say an organized sports team and you know, without your parents there, to basically stay alive, to cope with that? Because again, most people see Jamaica, they think, you know, they think Usain Bolt, they think beautiful beaches and resorts, but, there's right, definitely some dark territory there.
Yeah, there is. At the time when I was going through my stuff, it wasn't necessarily even like the violence aspect of things, like being afraid of getting shot or those kind of things. That's not what my struggle was. My struggle really was just to find food to eat, you know, and because I didn't have anyone looking out for me, so to speak, what ended up happening is that I was just always at the whim of whoever it is that, you know, was going to do something. So are going to give me something or offer me an opportunity to earn some money so that I could go buy some food. there's an indignity that you face with when it is that you're a so-called beggar. You know what I mean? And so I went through an awful lot of that. So low self-esteem is my biggest issue when I went to Canada. You know, and just wanting to fit in and just wanting to, you know, to have people respect and treat me in a particular way. That was my big thing when I first went up. And again, you know, we go right back to wrestling. Wrestling, I was able to get past it just because of the brotherhood we had at the time on my team.
So circling back to Canada, you finish up with high school there, and the opportunity, how does the opportunity present itself for you to wrestle at a Canadian university there? I know, it, you know, the story that I found from the Observer from last year before you went to wrestle in Johannesburg at the Commonwealth Championships said you spent time up at Lakehead University, which is in Thunder Bay, Ontario, actually about 3 hours north of where I sit right now. But talk about the opportunity with Lakehead and fill in the gaps for me here.
Right. Well, high school. When I finished high school, I had won my regional championship, I think, two times. After high school, I just didn't know what to do, because when I was on that suspension, you know, I went and worked in a warehouse, you know, for the full days that I was suspended from school. And I vowed that I would never work in a warehouse again. I hated it so much. And but when I left high school with my grade 12 diploma, that's all I could get was jobs in warehouses or maybe washing dishes in a Red Lobster or something like that. And so I didn't want to do that. And so I became, in a sense, depressed. And so that whole vibe there, just sitting in my mom's basement, not knowing what to do, not knowing what's going to come next, with people that's kind of bugging me all the time, when are you going to do something in your life? And all these different kind of things. So I got up one day in the middle of the winter and I rode my bicycle to a high school that was close by, St. Augustine. And I went over there and I asked them if I could help out with their wrestling team. And when they realized, you know, who it was, because for them, I was a big deal. I didn't see it that way, but they remember me, you know, just kind of dominating, you know, my weight classes for the last couple of years. And so so they were happy to welcome me in. And I went and I started coaching those kids. And in the short time that I coached them, they were able to win the regional, the Catholic school regional championship. And so when I went back to the school, all the teachers were asking me if I would come back and do something, just be a teacher at the school. And then they started to say, you know, you should go to university. You should really think about it. At that point in time, I was 21 going on 22. And in Canada, you can apply to university as a mature student if you're over 21. And then your grades are not the focal point. They would take a look at some other stuff as well. And so it was through that I was able to get in onto university, because one day I went to the school and the principal wouldn't have it. And they sat down and they filled out the university form. All I had to do when I went in there was give them information they didn't have. And so they pretty much paid all the fees that needed to be paid to send off these applications. And I got into three universities. At the time, I was rolling, like my friends from high school were, you know, there were some rough dudes, some of them, you know. And so these guys were getting into crack cocaine, was just becoming a big thing in Toronto. And a lot of these guys were getting involved in it. So when I got accepted to university, I went to my mentor and I asked him what he thought I should do. And he said he thinks I should go to the school that was furthest away, you know, from where I live, just so I could just start afresh, you know, just get away from these friends and just start afresh. And it was the best thing that I've ever done, because, you know, Lakehead for me was an opportunity to just kind of expand, you know, my limited exposure at that time, you know. And so going to Lakehead, it's a, you know, predominantly white Native Indian community, you know. So I was like, you know, staring at people that didn't see me all the time. And so I just had, there's so much that I have to learn. And there's a level of communication that I had to learn, you know, while being at Lakehead, you know, being a kid coming from Jamaica and running into certain kind of perceptions and all that kind of stuff, and just having a choice whether to get angry or to educate, you know. So it was a really cool process. But I ended up at Lake, and long story short, because there were some people that cared about me and saw things in me that I just didn't see in myself. And and I'm forever grateful for it.
Now, you had some years to buffer and assimilate from, you know, growing up in Jamaica to spending time just outside of Toronto and in the Toronto region. Now, again, Lakehead University, for those who are unfamiliar, is from a geographical standpoint, Western Ontario, but Ontario is a huge province. So if you know where Duluth, Minnesota is, and you know how cold Duluth, Minnesota is, you keep going north 300 kilometers. It's in just past the Arrowhead of Minnesota on the north side of Lake Superior. So you take somebody who grew up on a tropical island in the Caribbean to put them in freezing ass cold Canada, Lakehead, Thunder Bay, Ontario. How did you do it? I'm from Virginia and I'm trying to acclimate to Minnesota in the wintertime. How did you go from, you know, how do you survive being a Jamaican in Thunder Bay, Ontario?
You know what? I would say that as human beings, we are incredible, but I think we'll adapt to whatever situation we find ourselves in. And so that's the only way I can explain that. Because not only did I live there for all these years, I absolutely love it. I consider it like among the places that I call home. You know, whenever it is that I go to Canada, there's no more joy. I've been able to go to Thunder Bay, and there's a certain spot that my friends and I, you know, have to go to, you know, when I come into town. It's just one of those things. It grew on me, man. It certainly did. It grew on me.
So when we look at your career, so when you finish up with the university, I mean, how long does wrestling keep playing a role here? Are you wrestling on the team, and then do you try to go wrestle for Canada? I mean, where does the wrestling, once you're at university, where does that take you, so to speak?
You know what? I wrestled all the years that I wrestled at university, 4 years. I have eligibility there. I used that. And I always fell short of like winning my province, that kind of stuff. You know, I was third place for 4 years. You know, and that kind of stays with you. You know what I mean? Because it was always little things that I just was not able to put together. You know, and so that third place, that I have a lot of bronze medals. You know, and so after I finished university, I didn't feel like I was done. And so I was around Toronto for a while. I trained for a little bit. Then I started doing the motivational speaking thing, because I just felt that I needed to show other young kids, a lot of the same ones that were growing up in my neighborhood. I was the first black among my group to go to university. So none of us were going. And so a scholarship opportunity came up, and they offered me the scholarship. And a part of it is that I had to go back to my school 3 times a year and speak to other kids about university and what's possible and all that kind of stuff. And so in that, I started to throw in some little experiences, throw in some things that happened when I first went to school, how I had to deal with certain kind of situations, how you stay positive regardless of what's going on around you. And I started loving doing that. And so I did that for a little bit, but the wrestling thing just was still in my system. I felt like I had at least one more good tournament left in me, you know? And so I came out of retirement, and then I went to the Commonwealth Wrestling Championships in 2011 in Melbourne. I think it was in Melbourne. And I wrestled a tournament, and I literally came off the street. So if you can imagine, like probably around 2005, 2006 was the last time that I ever really had a season and wrestled. And so I kind of just fool around every now and then, showing wrestling to a few people. So I used that, just literally came off the street and went and wrestled the tournament. And I was 41 years old at the time. So I'm wrestling this tournament, and I'm saying to myself, oh my God, I actually feel pretty good. I'm a little tired because I haven't been doing the wrestling side of it, but I'm still fresh. The moves are still there. A little slow, you know, but with some practice, it will come back. And so I lost every match at the Commonwealth Wrestling Championships, where I gave everybody a formidable challenge, you know. And then we had a week of training camp, and then we had the Australia Open, or the Australia Cup. and for a wrestling at the Australia Cup, and I got fifth place. I won my first three matches, and then I lost. It was a round robin. Was it round? No, it wasn't round robin, but there was a lot of guys in that weight class. So even with my three wins, I still had to win another match. But anyhow, I did win the next one. That would have allowed me to continue on in the bracket. So I ended up placing fifth in that tournament. And I figured that I still had it. And I tried to get my DOA to send me to the Commonwealth Games. You know, I just didn't have a lot of tournaments. And the last time I wrestled would have been many years ago and stuff like that. So, you know, that didn't happen. So this year I wanted to go. I really wanted to go because I thought that to me it's more than just trying to get wrestling up and running in Jamaica. It's not just wrestling that was so pivotal in my life. It was the culture of wrestling. There's something about this sport that makes, I don't know, once you're involved with it, there's a give back aspect to it. You know, there's a sharing aspect to it. There's I just feel like you just get better as a human being by becoming in contact with the sport. And so I didn't want to just train a bunch of, you know, adults, you know, just to coach the sport using videotapes and so on and so forth. I wanted people who have wrestled to actually come and interact with the coaches that are going to be coaching these kids, you know, and having an opportunity themselves to learn certain things about wrestling. Maybe just to be around a couple of wrestlers and just listen to the way they speak and so on and so forth, so that we can bring some of the culture here too, and not just the sport, where kids just kind of wrestle and, you know, become superstars and they don't help anybody else. They're just all about themselves. Most of my friends are coaches. They're involved in the sport in some kind of way still. And so there's a side of that, and that kind of, you know, pushes the reason why I wanted to just come out of retirement and really just wrestle this time. And so when I decided I wanted to go to the Commonwealth Games, I decided to go back to Canada and just visit all of these different, you know, universities and train with different coaches and different coach training partners, as well as compete in a couple of tournaments. And I just prepared myself for the opportunity. I really wanted to leave no stones unturned. And so, that was the journey. And then I went to South Africa. And even though I did not win in South Africa, I did not win a match in South Africa, and I placed fifth in the two tournaments that I had entered in Canada, I'm looking at this whole thing, and at first I was beating up on myself, and I'm saying, you know what? Man, this wrestling thing, maybe I'm just getting too old. You know, maybe I'm just not prepared. And so when I got back to Jamaica, I was, in my mind, I was like, all right, I'm just going to give it up. I'm not going to wrestle anymore. I'm going to get these two guys that we have and get them ready to go to the Commonwealth Games and so on and so forth. And all of these things started to fall apart. Like the guys that were supposed to come to the games, they weren't able to come. There's a lot of things that we just couldn't get worked out in time. And so the spot was open, and there was no one to fill it. So it was just like, all right, so I'm still at the mindset, you know, that I can do this Commonwealth thing. And then it started to come back, and then I'm starting to look at the whole situation of my training camp and coming to Canada and doing all the things that I did up there. And I'm looking at all of these things, and I'm saying like, well, I have not been in the sport for all of these years, and this is the first time I'm going to structured practices and starting to get back into the wrestler, the world of wrestling in a real kind of way. And I'm saying to myself, but you know what? You're just about right. You're in a pretty good place because, you know, the first tournament that you wrestled, you know, the guys in the weight class, they felt really big, and I didn't feel as strong up there. And so I was 81 kilos, and I was wrestling 86 kilos. And so I decided, you know what? The next tournament, I'm going to go down. So I won one match in that tournament. And so the next tournament, I decided I was going to go down in weight. And again, I have not cut weight in a very long time. And even though it wasn't a lot of weight, I have not done it in a while. So what I did is that I didn't eat all day, didn't drink anything all day. And then that night, I just pretty much, I ate really, really light. And then the night that we we waited. So that evening I waited, and after I waited, you know, I tried to eat something and I couldn't eat a lot, so I ate a little bit. And then it was so, I didn't get a chance to eat again. And so I drank a little bit more water, but did not hydrate the way that I should have. And the morning it was such a rush because we had to drive from London to Toronto for the tournament. So we rushed out to meet the bus and I didn't have a chance to eat breakfast. And then, you know, just trying to kind of get things on the go. I just didn't get my nutrition up. So my I cramped up because I was so dehydrated in that tournament. So when I look back at all that transpired over the time that I was away training and getting prepared, the one thing that I came away with is just like, okay, so you learned what it is that you need to do in terms of making sure that you're hydrated. You know, you learn that if you're going to do the 86 kilogram thing, you're going to have to get some strength. You're going to have to build up. You're going to have to get in the gym and do what needs to be done. So when I came back to Jamaica, and I mean, when the opportunity opened up and I started to think and all of these things started to make sense to me, I said, like, you know what? I'm in the best shape of my life. Even when I was a young athlete in university doing my thing, I was not in the kind of shape that I'm in right now. Because it's a mixture of yoga and fitness and weights and wrestling. There's all of these different things that I do. My body is completely pain-free. I'm just in really, really great shape. And so when I came to the Commonwealth Games, with not enough mat time because I didn't have anyone to wrestle with in Jamaica since I got back. So it was just more a lot of training, you know, in the gym, doing the weights, you know, doing a lot of walking, a lot of vigorous walking and wrestling, you know, just maybe once or twice per week kind of thing. And sometimes that didn't even happen because I don't have a lot of training partners that I can train with at the moment. And so, when I came to the Commonwealth Games mentally and physically, I was prepared. I was very match rusty, but I was prepared. And I that first fight I gave it pretty much everything I got. And so the second one I didn't have very much more to give. Yeah.
When we look at the opportunity to compete, you said you jumped into a spot and I've been going to the World Championships since probably 2003, then I went in 2007, and I really haven't missed one since, or the Olympics, save 2008. And Jamaica is not a country I've seen at the World Championships. And as the president of the federation, when did you assume that role, and what have you done to try to raise the awareness and maybe promote the sport of wrestling on the island as a means of you know, not just competition, but a way of staying out of trouble and see a way to show what you got out of it to the youth in that country?
Yeah, well, the position, it was 2011, you know, when the opportunity came up for Jamaica wrestling. And so it took a couple of years to actually get through registration, put a board together, all of that kind of stuff. For a very long time, it was very difficult to get settled because there's a lot of questions, especially when you go to the school, there's a lot of questions that people now have. And it's just once it gets to the fact that you're going to need a mat and a mat costs a lot of money. And for a lot of these schools, wrestling is not a sport that they know about. It's not something that they're quick to jump at. You know, there's all of these different obstacles that were coming up in terms of maybe the boys are not going to like touching boys, these, you know, being so close to other boys and all of these different things. And so there's a whole lot of education that had to go on the ground. And so I went to a few schools and demonstrated the sport there. There's a group called Fight for Peace where they organize, they have different disciplines in terms of coaches in different disciplines. And then they bus kids to a particular community. To a particular space, and then all of us practitioners, me doing wrestling, there's capoeira, there's boxing, there's taekwondo, and so we're all just kind of showing these kids the sport of wrestling. So there's been some of that. There's been some of going into one of our native communities and just kind of getting wrestling in terms of standard wrestling set up in there. But we're now at the point where we're looking to build a national training center where it is that we can invite schools to bring teams as opposed to trying to get mats into schools all at once. So while we're open to the idea of getting mats into these schools, we're also open to the idea of just setting up a national training center. And I think once we have that organized, then it would be a lot easier for us to be able to recruit, because there's no shortage of talent on the island. I think it's just really a matter of, you know, having a space now where we can start filling them in.
Even though you didn't grow up wrestling in Jamaica, have since you've gone back and started working with creating a federation there, have you discovered that there are wrestling roots within the country and its history?
Yes, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, that is one of the places that I went to with the sport. There's a Maroon community, and the Maroons were the slaves that ran away to the mountains and formed their own community and kind of had their own identity and eventually, you know, had their own space. They were sovereign. And so I went down and met with the colonel. And so we started, we built a sandpit in the community and taught the kids how to wrestle, had a free tournament, you know, that kind of thing. So it was so natural to them. And when you see the way these kids play on a general, the way that you see them in the schoolyard, they're pretty much wrestling. You know, it's always less like grabbing each other, throwing each other on the ground, kicking. You know, they're always just roughhousing. So they're wrestling. So it's something that is just, it's natural to us. But again, you know, the Maroons were involved, you know, in a war for 300 years with the British. And they were pretty much just on foot and with very few weapons. So there's a lot of what it is that they do in terms of their fighting style, you know, that would be very similar. And again, even a fighting style like Capoeira, you know, it comes out of just a dance that was created, you know, but it wasn't really just a dance. It was disguised as a dance, but it's an actual martial art. So again, I believe that it's definitely in our roots.
When we focus on Gold Coast 2018 and, you know, Surfer's Paradise right there on the Pacific edge of Australia, it's the first time I'd been down there and really experiencing the Australian culture. But the Commonwealth Games, for those in the United States who are listening that don't really understand what the Commonwealth is, you know, it's the collective of many former British colonies and used to be called the Empire in Commonwealth Games. And now Jamaica is one of those nations, but you also went to Canada, you know, for a lot of your life to understand the sport there. And that's also a Commonwealth nation. How important was it for you to actually compete in the Commonwealth Games, which is the every 4 years Olympic style festival?
You know, it was a huge deal. It was a huge deal. I tried to play it down the whole time because I didn't want, you know, to have people that, you know, when people kind of give you that talk, you know, that Kevin, you know, are you sure about this? You know, you're 48 years old and, you know, you may hurt yourself and, you know, you may embarrass the country or, you know, there's all of these different things that are going on. But they don't know how I feel. They don't know the mindset that I had. So they wouldn't understand. So I had to just pretty much not take that stuff on, but just pretty much just block it out, because I understood the opportunity that was in front of me. You know, I recognize that if it is that I'm able to get on this stage at age 48, not only just get out there to wrestle, but get out there to really wrestle. You know, it's not some old guy trying to hold on to a young dude who's trying to put him out of his misery kind of thing, but I'm actually out there and I'm putting in the time and I'm wrestling. And I wanted to show, like, even my friends that have allowed themselves to get out of shape and all of that kind of thing, to realize that no, you have the formula. You know, it's the same formula that all of us learned when we were kids going through wrestling. That's the formula that I've used to keep myself together as it relates to my fitness. And so it was just on so many different levels that I felt that I could be of service, you know what I mean? I felt I could be useful if it is that I just get to the Commonwealth Games as this old guy that is, he's got a mission. He wants to get wrestling set up in Jamaica. He wants the culture of wrestling to be here. He wants to invite, you know, and, you know, encourage wrestlers from all over the world to come down to Jamaica. And when they come, bring your booth. You know, call me up, coach a clinic, do something, whatever the case is. So it's just like, I'm feeling that the wrestling culture really saved my life. Because even as I went back to Canada, you know, to train for the Commonwealth Games, I stayed at all my friend's house. You know what I mean? These guys were driving me to practice. Some of these guys were coming out, you know, for the first time in years, they're coming back onto the mat just to come and fellowship with me and to help me and to help me prepare, you know. And so for me, going to the Commonwealth Games was an opportunity, not only just for me, but to just kind of remind those of us who have wrestled. It was just to remind us of what is this sport really? It wasn't just about on the mat. You know, you showed me with my friends that I haven't seen in many years, and all you can see are just teeth because we're all smiling so hard. You know, we laugh so hard, reminiscing, telling old stories, talking about being on road trips. Oh, man. So my going to the Commonwealth Games, it wasn't just even me by myself going. It was me and all my buddies. We all lived this experience together, you know, and even people who didn't know me like that, but wrestling that time frame, you know, it was another thing. It's like we all went together, you know, and so it was very important on so many levels for me to get there. And so, yes, I'm excited in terms of what it is that that happens now. I've been just a bunch, how would you say, I surrendered to the process. I think that's the best way that I can look at it. You know, I didn't fight anything. I just kind of went training when I was supposed to go to training. I just did the things that I was called to do when I was pushed to do, when I felt the need, I desire to do them. And here I am.
When we go back to Gold Coast and that final day, there was a wrestler from Nigeria who was in the finals at his weight class. And I go through and I'm again, just like I started this show with, I looked and see, okay, he doesn't have a whole lot of credentials. Let's check the age. This guy's 41. So I'm like, okay, this gives me an opportunity. I said, okay, we've got the wrestler out there. He's 41. Also a wrestler previous, you know, I'm doing my announcer voice as I say this. So, you know, wrestler from Scotland was 40 years old. And then of course, 48-year-old Kevin Wallen, and you're actually sitting kind of yes, to my left behind me in the stands. And all of a sudden I hear this ovation as I say your name, and I like, yeah, and I turn around and you're standing up waving. And then after that happened, throughout the rest of that session, you're signing autographs and taking selfies. And, you know, you want to match 11 to 10 at 48 years old at the Commonwealth Games. Not exactly, you know, you're not getting the lines like Usain Bolt is, but you're getting photos and selfies from little kids, from parents, from countries all over the place. Explain what that experience was like for you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, look, it started that morning. It started that morning. When I got up after winning that match, it was just like, wow. You know, wow, I look at this crowd and I look at where it is that I'm at and I'll say like, this is the kind of thing that you hear about. You read a book, you see on TV. It's like a fairy tale. It's like a dream come true on many levels. So my belly was very close to being full with the love that I got that morning, because after that was done, I mean, same kind of thing, huge crowd, selfies, autographs. And the thing about it is that the love was so genuine that there was no trying to smile. I didn't have to force a smile, so they could feel my warmth. And the more they could, it was just incredible. So when I came back that night and that happened again, oh, oh my goodness. Wow, man, I've never felt such genuine, pure, loving energy coming towards me like I felt when I was, you know, on that last day of wrestling. That was like, it was the most incredible feeling, man. It's like when you really think about it, it was just like all of these years that I've been at this thing, all these years that I've been talking about just the power of wrestling and all of these different kinds of stuff. And here it is that at age 48, I am standing in Australia in on the goalpost at age 48, and I'm actually a competitor. You know, and not only am I a competitor, but I actually went out there and I compete. I held my own. You know, it was just awesome. It was an incredible, incredible experience.
We move forward on this. You know, the database says that there hasn't been a wrestler from Jamaica compete at the World Championships since 1997. What are you trying to do to change that? So we see wrestlers at the Pan American Championships and the Pan Am Games and the World Championships in years in the future.
Well, we have one wrestler that's going to be at the Pan Am qualifiers in Peru. So we're starting the process with that. Greco Roman, he won a bronze medal for us in Cuba, you know, a couple of months ago as well. So we're starting to come up. There's another guy that we're going through some final stages in terms of getting them all set up. But there's another guy that's up and coming right now. And so the idea is to see if we can qualify, you know, for the Olympics. So we'll see how that goes. So we're working on that. But in the meantime, this coming summer, we're going to run a beach wrestling league by the setting of sand pits in some of our local communities. And then just have six of these communities go, and then we'll do a crossover, and then we'll do a bit of a tournament at the end. And then during that process, what it is that we're looking to do is to get some folks who are interested in coaching. And so we'll teach them, you know, over a period of time. There's a gentleman from Canada that will come down and help out with the certification. And then we'll get these guys going. And then once we have that, then I think out of that, we can start, you know, really moving the whole idea of having wrestling on the island forward in a meaningful way. There's a couple of schools that are interested. There's one that they have a mat right now. And so there's also the Teachers College. They also have a mat. And so there's some work that we're doing right now that within the next 5 years, you know, Jamaica would definitely be not just kind of noticeable, but we'll be very noticeable on the wrestling stage.
Has there been any outreach to maybe to athletes in the United States who may have Jamaican roots that could represent Jamaica, not just in name, but also, you know, come down there and coach and train and you know, basically say, all right, we've got some people that can wrestle here. They've got some Jamaican roots. So any angles or leads in that respect?
Yes. As a matter of fact, one of your good guys, you know, he is Jamaican, but so why we won't have him as a wrestler? I'm talking about James Green. So why we won't have him as a wrestler, but he's someone that I'm hoping to get down to do some coaching and that kind of thing, you know. And so again, we're opening up the idea. We've opened it up to folks in Canada as well as folks in the U.S. and even tried to recruit a guy from the U.K. as well. So the idea. Even the guy that's one of the guys that we're supposed to do the Commonwealth Games for us, you know, that's the stuff that we're just trying to, you know, finalize where his thing is concerned, is that we just need to, you know, make sure that, you know, the parents and we get the paperwork and you get, you know, the citizenship thing sorted out. So there's a lot of that kind of work that has to happen still. So, but we definitely have some people that we're working through with that.
As we wrap up this episode of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast, you can find more about the Jamaica Wrestling Federation. It's on Facebook at Jamaica Wrestling Federation. Got some photos there of the sand wrestling. You got some photos of Mr. Wallen out there in Gold Coast. It was such a really cool thing to experience. And as we wrap up, what's the best thing you can tell somebody about the sport of wrestling?
It would change the way you look at your circumstances. And so a lot of people, especially a lot of young people that are struggling, trying to find themselves, trying to identify who they are and all that kind of stuff. I think there's something about the sport that once you pick it up, you're just not the same person. You know, so I don't suspect that, you know, the kids, especially the kids here in Jamaica, I'm just looking forward to them having access to the sport because it's just a great option to have.
Subscribe to the World Wrestling Resource Podcast by going to WWRpodcast.com and check it out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, or wherever you find your podcasts. World Wrestling Resource at WorldWrestlingResource.com.
This show is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.